Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Have a Google smart speaker in your home or office? Just say, hey Google, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's amazing.
And listen to Boston's home for sports.
Toucher and Rancher live on Radio Row. Toucher at the GWC. Presented by the New England Volkswagen dealers. Watch the show on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
Danny at 5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I don't know what's up with my voice. We're at the Georgia World Congress Center, and this hour of the program is brought to you by Plymouth Rock Assurance. And the bidding ends tonight at 8 o'clock. Therese Bergeron on our show bring you Pucks and Paddles. It's the second annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation.
By the way, the bids are way up today.
Yeah, good, yeah. Good a lot of people wait till the end.
Stop. Yeah, maybe you let me read it and then you interject their turtle. It's this Thursday at the Royale Boston. Bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player. Rich and I, John, Mark Bertrand, Scott Zolik. Bidding ends today at 8. VIP tickets are sold out. Get your general admission tickets for just $50. And this one's fun. They're not on a stage. They're all on the floor, so it's good. You can go and buy tickets and bid on people at 985thesportshub.com. All right, where are we at?
Real quick. Oh, are you looking at the thing?
Yeah, I just want to know where
we're at. Yeah, the top bid, Bergeron, $1,325.
All right, now we're talking.
Marchand, $1,250. Pastrnak, $1,000. DeBrusque, $1,250. I mean, the bids are coming in fast and furious here.
Right. What about us?
The leader is Rich Certainleap, $400.
What?
Fred Toucher, $375.
All right. We're going up. Moving on up. All I know is that this is where it gets nuts.
Yeah.
8 o'clock on Friday. This is where you start seeing like different guests and stuff come by. And just a minute ago there was a holy crap moment.
Yeah.
Ryan Shazier came walking by.
Okay. It was awesome to see.
That's pretty good.
I mean, that's you saw him on TV, and when the Steelers brought him back that one game, I mean, that was obviously one of those moments where you could tell it was not a dry eye in the house. But just to see him walking by and knowing what the prognosis was at the beginning, where he may never walk again, and he looked pretty good. He's got a little bit of a limp, but I mean, I know he's. We were just talking about this off the air. I know he wants to come back and play.
I don't think there's any way that he gets medically cleared to play.
Yeah, it'd be surprising if he got medically cleared to play.
Why
again.
Would you want to do? I know he's made like what you said it was like 17,
it's
18
not
million.
Money at this point. It's I mean, he was so important to that team and the way that it all went down. You know, that's a very difficult pill to swallow, and maybe it helps him motivate his rehabilitation and everything.
And I also think like a lot of those guys, it's such a big part of their identity. That they almost can't imagine themselves not being can't imagine yourself not being a football player. And so, it motivates your the idea that you could have that identity back could be a big motivator for your rehab.
What the Steelers have done for him is nuts. I mean, they've been paying him out. Like, I mean, they could have cut him, obviously, although it would have been a massive PR hit, I would think, too. But still.
They've really taken care of him.
They have taken care of him. Okay, so Ray Lewis is returning to Atlanta. What is this, 18?
I've returned. There ain't no, why wouldn't I?
The headline of the New York Post was Ray Lewis turns to Atlanta for the Super Bowl. Certain everyone forgot about his past.
No one forgot about my past. Everyone knows I'm the greatest.
So
5'15", 75 on numbers.
We went to dinner last night.
I'll raise you four.
At a super nice steak restaurant, which is like a block from where Ray Lewis and the whole stabbings thing went down. And that used to be a line of these like college party bars, and Fred was working here and I was at the same time too, and they made this like fake beach behind all those bars, and it was like a couple
of
years
like volleyball courses
and it was my gig. It was through Budweiser, and it was my gig and I was supposed to like MC the events, and obviously they never happened because of the freezing rain. So I just sat and drank for more money than I'd ever made doing anything in my life.
That sounds awesome to me.
I made like $5,000 for that week doing nothing.
Well, the one thing about that area, though, is it almost seems like a couple years after that stabbing, Atlanta was like, just forget that area ever existed. And they basically bulldozed all those like bars.
Was the stabbing
down.
Why?
It was, put it this way, it was a long line of incidents that were happening, but that one went like on a national scale. And Fred and I were talking about what the timeline was, but it was maybe about six years after it happened. They got rid of it. That does happen.
Like, I remember, like, the flats in Cleveland. I don't know if you guys ever went there. When I was in college, it was like a really, really cool area. And the thing is, like, the bars were lined on the sides of the river. And, like, a couple of people got drunk and fell in the river. And, like, 3 years later, all those bars are strip clubs.
Yeah, oh, well, now what they did instead
of... Hooray, hooray!
they
Ray loves boobies.
They bulldozed all of them, and now it's, like, Chanel stores.
God has blessed us.
And these super high-end restaurants, and you would never know what happened there But he's back, and, I mean, this is insane. And now there's articles being written all over of like, how is this guy returned? So yesterday he went on the NFL Network.
Right.
Now, the NFL Network, they're not going to bring up the stabbings. They're not going to bring up all that stuff.
So there's no mention of it? That'd be really weak.
I don't think they mentioned it at all.
Oh, boy.
Do we have the audio?
You know what? Here's the thing. Mike watched it, and he said that he didn't say it did not. however... The one thing,
seriously?
Yeah.
How do you do that? Like, how do you not just?
You have to like you
probably forgot.
Because you know what he would do? He would go, you know, it was the most difficult time of my life, and you know what? God blessed me with friends at that time, and blah. Yeah. And then he would move on.
If you're not like for one thing, like if Ray was going to use this effectively, like this could be a way to turn the page, I guess. Like I wouldn't show up at all, but like because no one was going to really. This wasn't going to be a big topic if he's not here. He's making it a topic by showing up.
If Ray Lewis is in front of you and you have a microphone and your first question is what happened to the white suit, then you're not doing.
That's what I'm saying. Like if they try to put a condition on the interview, you say, all right, like we're not doing.
Can't do it. Yeah. No, you don't do that. But however, Deion Sanders did bring up one thing, and I have to be honest, I'm kind of a Deion Sanders fan this morning after this. So let's roll the clip.
Undoubtedly, you're the best that ever did it at the linebacker position. I'm just trying to figure out where you get this headset from at the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah,
I don't understand it. That was not an option. Yeah. That was not an option for me. Who gave you the headset? Like, did you come out the car in your... They did not furnish you a headset.
Who didn't furnish me a headset?
Hall of Fame ain't give you no headset.
Yeah, you got that for Creflo Dollars.
Prime, listen. So... 2 weeks before, I'm running through my speech, right? And as I'm running through my speech, I realize I'm like, I can't stand behind no podium.
Right.
It's impossible.
That ain't got nothing to do with the headset, though.
Yes, it does.
I can get up.
Oh, God bless Deion, man. He's like, yeah. Say what you will, but
focused on the headset.
You can't stand behind no podium. I have to constantly be moving.
Has Deion been waiting like 2 years to ask him?
Oh, yeah. You know, he's sitting there steaming because he's like, how dare you upstage me and my speech? And I mean, it's like, you know, he said, listen, I want the Bobby Brown in my prerogative headset, and I want to be able to get out here and move around because I can't stop shaking and moving. So Deion Sanders continued, and Ray Lewis continued as well. They talked a little bit of Tom Brady.
And just walk around. I can get up and just walk around. See that? I can just get up and walk around. That ain't got nothing to do with no headset.
And I called him and I said, listen, I ain't carrying no mic. I ain't standing behind no podium.
Who did you call?
I'm not telling y'all who I called.
But why you got to be different, man?
What you mean why I got
why
to be
you got
different,
to be,
Brian?
Why can't you just grab your mic and do what everybody else? You got a headset. Only thing you didn't have was a choir.
That's it.
Because
I was in the pulpit.
You was in the pulpit.
You know I was in the pulpit.
You church.
You was in the pulpit.
All right. You played against Tom Brady eight times.
Yeah.
What does it make them so challenging? Based on what you did for a living.
Tom Brady plays the most boring football you ever watch in your life. Boring. Nothing exciting. So while a lot of guys are playing checkers, Tom is saying, okay, I get it. It looks great.
Come in, shoot your
ladder. that's not the phrase. Well, everyone else is playing checkers. Tom Brady says, oh, I got this.
Yeah, I don't think on that.
I don't think that's the phrase.
No.
When everyone else is playing checkers, I'll tell you what, he's having an ice cream sundae.
A bird in the hand is a guy going, what's happening here?
When everybody's playing checkers, Tom Brady's got a Rubik's Cube.
He didn't even go like another game.
A nickel at a time gives you cotton candy.
When everyone else
an apple a day.
19 years ago and 5 miles from here. Yeah, that's right.
An apple a day, you know, you eat them. For real. They make the fiber come out. They make the poo.
Yes. I see. All right, back it up about 10 seconds.
Back it up. I stepped on that.
I got to hear this.
Oh.
Challenging, based on what you did for a living.
Tom Brady plays the most boring football you ever watch in your life. Boring. Nothing exciting. So while a lot of guys are playing checkers, Tom is saying, okay, I get it. It looks great. But I'm going to be basic as you can get. And that's what makes Bill Belichick.
All right, hang on a second. Stop.
All right. I'm going to be as basic as you can get.
Exactly.
Isn't that what checkers is?
No, hang on a second. Yeah, he's like, checkers is real hard because you got to get figure out how do you king it, and then I can move all over the board.
What Tom's doing is he's doing this. He's saying, I'm dumb. He's saying, let's play shoots and ladder.
Okay. What do you think he's trying to say? Because he starts off his point saying that Tom plays like the simplest, like, you know, like
everyone else is playing checkers.
But then he's saying, well,
Tom's playing with himself, which is a sin.
Difficult.
Tom's out there masturbating.
And that's the trick of the devil.
Yeah, it is. Because you're going to hell
that's
when you
right.
touch that part of you.
Yeah.
Tom's
having a sandwich.
I mean, I'm trying to speak Ray Lewis here, and it's perfectly impossible.
Did you guys put lulls it? Lulls you to sleep, guys, maybe?
What's that?
He lulls you to sleep?
No.
I don't know.
Checkers is a very exciting.
Did you guys put in a request for him?
I don't think for Ray Lewis. Oh, there
if
was,
he was on Radio Row. Then like
he's not.
He just
Network.
He did the NFL Network probably because
which I don't even think is here.
No, it's in the other room.
It's in the NFL Experience.
Yeah. But don't listen. If I see him, I'm literally not leaving his side.
So well, like
be you're careful.
You're carrying equipment around with you at all times.
Without a doubt.
Just in case.
We're going to miss our flight.
Okay. It'd be worth it.
I'm not kidding. I will reschedule my flight if I see Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
I will. That's the only person I would do
it. If you guys got it, it'd be worth it.
I would reschedule my flight.
All right. Back it up. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, well, we're all.
Boring. Nothing exciting. So while a lot of guys are playing checkers, Tom is saying, okay, I get it. It looks great. But I'm going to be basic as you can get. And that's what makes Bill Belichick so productive. Listen, if you watch the Patriots, right? Everybody says, oh, the Patriots have this, they have that. The last six weeks of the season, they went to a two-back set, old school football, Sony Michel, run the football, and let Tom Brady. It's the Patriots, they're used to the Steelers.
Stop.
They got old school, okay. Right? And then Tom Brady got used to the Steelers.
That's right. And everyone, everyone says
they
about
bring
the
in
Patriots,
the fullback,
and then they're used to the Steelers.
And they got this, and they got that. That's what everyone says about the Patriots.
You know,
everyone says this and that.
Then Brady was trying to drive a stick, and he couldn't do it. But he didn't give up. He got used to it, just like the Steelers. Why is he on TV?
Is this board game, Ray Lewis?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Connect four? Nah. Brady connect two. He's on another level.
Ray Lewis did it in the Buckhead with a knife. That is the answer. Take it out of the little car in the middle of the board there. There's your clue.
19 years and 6 miles ago.
All right. Here's my problem.
God's hand came down and blessed Ray.
Hey, here's my problem. Candyland, where's the candy? I sat there. I won. Where's the candy?
You don't get candy when you play that board game, Bray Lewis.
You know what? Okay. You know what? I don't. Don't buy Park Place.
Okay. Right. That's
you got to get used to it. That's the prime land.
Checkers.
So he said, a bird in the hand is not counting your chickens before they hatch. It's Ray Lewis. Hashtag Ray Lewis Proverbs.
Why do you think Bill Belichick wears a sweater that's not popular? The old school.
That's right. I forgot about
that. Not popular.
That's from last time. All right, let's hear the rest of this.
It's the Patriots, they're used to the Steelers. They're used to the Ravens. They know what everybody in the AFC plays like. It was a little awkward last year for them to play against Philly. They didn't know how many dynamics could really hurt them. The Rams have that same dynamic. That is so many different pieces that you just can't key on one, two, three pieces.
So you're picking the Rams.
I'm going to tell you why. If you take the history of the Patriots, the teams that's beat the Patriots have one of the most dominant front fours in football. Mm-hmm. And that's dangerous.
Yeah, I'm picking Brady, but that sounds good. That's some good stuff.
No one else is dangerous.
What's that?
Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis in Atlanta.
Ray Lewis in Atlanta.
It's a very old school. Oh, man, you are just dumb. Holy moly.
He's a lot of trouble getting the word.
He said literally nothing in that. Literally nothing. Connect four. No, connect 5-15-75.
For real.
Board game Ray Lewis.
All right, here comes Chris Long.
Oh, excellent. Right now? With us?
All right. I don't know.
You're friends with him.
Go flex. You guys want me to go get him?
Yeah.
Go show. See if I can get him for you.
Go show what you got. Are you going to text him? Just get up to him. He's right there.
I can tell you. Hold on. All right.
Do we have any more left of this?
No, let's take a break.
We'll take a break. All right.
Dutcher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. Presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealer. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Dutcher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. Was Burt coming back?
I don't know.
He put out a request for Chris Long. I think if Long comes back, it's probably better if Burt's here.
He went right up to Chris Long.
Yeah.
Because Chris Long was walking through. Of course, you know, Chris Long on the last team to win a Super Bowl with the Patriots. And I know him and Ninkovich are obviously good buds. But Burt knows him. And
they
went up
hugged.
And they did. They did.
Yes. They embraced.
Nice little bro hug. Yes. So he went over and said that... Chris Long, because Chris Long originally was like booked for the day, but Bert's trying to work some magic, so we'll see how that goes.
All right, here comes Bert.
And I think that there's the no Michael Vick to be seen.
No, Michael Vick's not doing the show today. I can tell you that is not going to
probably
happen.
Probably more.
Well, who do we have coming up? We got coming up.
Jerry Rice, Ron Rivera, and there's a bunch of people walking around, and hopefully Chris Long. So
okay,
if there's a bunch of people walking around, I don't recognize anyone.
Who else did I see over there?
Well, you said Ryan
Luke Wilson.
Ryan Shazier was here earlier.
Ryan Shazier was here. I've seen the other day Saquon Barkley.
So you guys haven't seen Mike Vick. I haven't even seen him.
He was here yesterday.
He was here yesterday, okay. And his publicist said they were going to bring him by around 8 o'clock.
Okay,
so you know how that works. All right. So last we heard Ray Lewis. He, for some strange reason, thought it was a good idea to come back to Atlanta for the Super Bowl, and he was doing a thing on the NFL Network. You want to start this back up? Was that a good? Oh, that was it. That was the end of it. Well, that was a gift.
That's unfortunate. All right, so, Bert, do you trust Goff in this situation?
No. Real quick. Before we change the subject. Are you guys going to talk to him, Ray Lewis, at this party?
I have no idea what the availability is going to be. So I don't know.
He's dumb enough to put himself in front of all these people.
I know they're credentialing media. I don't know if they're making him available. But it would seem to be, the whole thing's a mistake, right? Like the whole thing, him being here is a mistake.
Yes.
Sit this one out, Ray, right?
Yeah. Of all the Super Bowls.
And he calls it the gold jacket party, which I understand why the gold jacket, but right, maybe don't throw that in the title.
Which is either stupid. Right, like you're just too dumb to realize what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
Or B,
A,
it's like you're rubbing it in everybody's face. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with A.
Yeah. So, okay. Now, last time a guy that you worked with wanted to go and kind of get some answers finally from Ray Lewis, things didn't go well. And this article just came out like recently, didn't it?
Yeah. But Robert Klumko actually was in that like. So this was way before I was there. So this was, and he may not have even been at our site yet. He may have been at USA Today still, but, yeah, there was a confrontation. He went in the Ravens locker room. I think this is the year they won the Super Bowl, 2012.
I have the quote here. It was an article called Ray Lewis and the Bubble that sheltered him. And this says Robert saying, Ray, may I speak to you privately about something serious? I asked, and he said, just go ahead. He said, I continued, we're doing a story with interviews of the families of the victims of Atlanta. I have a few questions for you, and I just want to give you the opportunity to comment. Said Lewis, you serious? I continued, yes, it's our responsibility to give you the chance to comment out of fairness to you. Quote, you want me to talk about something that happened 13 years ago right now? Lewis shot back, who's that fair to, me or you? I told him it was fair to him. You're a public figure and a subject of an emotionally charged story, I said. You should have the opportunity to comment, said Lewis respectfully. This is my space. You need to go find your space now. And this is where it gets really interesting. I said, okay, I walked out of the locker room. A Ravens media relations staffer followed me into the hallway. Quote, Robert, if you ever pull some bull blank like that again, you will never come in this locker room ever again. I told him I didn't understand, and he pressed harder, sticking his finger in my face. First of all, you know Ray is off limits. What? Second of all, why are you asking questions about murders that happened 13 years ago? I told him all I did was ask a question.
Because everyone knows there's a statute of limitations on asking about murders.
12 years. Sure.
12 years, 9 months. That's it, he said. You're not going back in that locker room today. Get out of here. Another media relations staffer then walked out to me, quote, what are you asking questions about that for? What is that a story?
Why is that a story?
Yeah, why is that a story? I said, you really want me to explain that? He nodded. I've been reading my society professional journalist code. The one thing they taught us in college in preparation for such a question, I had an answer, quote, because our responsibility is to give a voice to the voiceless and tell the story of the diversity of the human experience boldly. He was unimpressed. You should get out of here. he says you can't go back in. So, I mean, that's the one time that on record I've read that anyone's even, like, brought that up after everyone was just like, cool, man, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I was in college when this happened, so I have no idea the way the media, the Baltimore media or the national media back then handled this as far as questioning him about it. Mm-hmm. But he was sheltered. Like, he was one of these guys that credit for Robert for going up to him, but he's like one of these guys that, like, you're not supposed to go up to him without, and it sounds so stupid now, it sounds so dumb, but, like, you're supposed to, like, request him and not approach him in the locker room.
Is there any other player you've ever heard of that with in the NFL?
Oh, it happens.
So there's players that, even if you have locker room access, there's a double access you have to get to certain players.
No, they were Patriots players, and I'm sure Bert remembers this, so I'm not talking today. I'm talking Friday. You know, they'd be sitting at their locker, and you would go up to them and say, I'm sorry, it'd be a Wednesday. No, I'm not talking until Friday.
Yeah, that's pretty common. Like, especially with the Patriots, it's very common. They don't want them talking more than they have to.
Yeah.
So, but this is, I mean, look, it, like, what Robert said there is 100% valid. It's, I'm writing a story about you and your involvement in a double murder. So you should have an opportunity to defend yourself. I'm going to give you the opportunity to defend yourself.
Yeah, and I have quotes from the people who are on the other side of this, and I think it's only fair if they say their piece, then you're going to have to say yours.
Right.
But so that'll be interesting. So tonight you got somebody at the Gold Jacket Party.
Checkers. All right, I do want to – okay, so the Patriots aren't allowed to say much, and they don't want to give any bulletin-board material. Do you think Chung – got any crap for saying we're going to kick their ass when they did the rally?
Probably. I mean, I'll be honest, guys. I thought Roby Coleman, I was a little disappointed. I thought Roby Coleman should have doubled down. Like, if I'm Roby Coleman, like, and he came back, and somebody definitely got to him. But, like, I think in that situation, you should, backing down sort of shows a little bit of weakness, you know?
Sure.
Like, and I've always felt like the teams that compete on these stages against the Patriots and are able to beat the Patriots on these sorts of stages are the ones that come in fearless. And we've talked about that dynamic for a decade now. The Jets, the Ravens, the teams that come in to Gillette, the teams that come on to this sort of stage and don't give a bleep.
Yeah.
And I think Roby Coleman coming out and saying what he said, like, it's fine, just leave it. You know what I mean? Like, you said it, just leave it. Like, there's no reason to...
Because their line, and you even heard, like, Tlaib say it and a bunch of other players, like, almost like they were told to say this when they were asked about it, was that, you know, Roby Coleman said a bunch of nice things about Tom Brady, too,
right,
but they left that out of the article. It's like, Don't do that, dude. Right. Embrace it.
Right.
Run with it. Be the villain for once.
Right. And I think you even saw it a little bit with Sean and the texting thing with Bill.
Well, I think he done effed up on that.
Like Bill was like, yeah, that's not what we're looking for.
Yeah,
like,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah, Sean, you're off my your
why do they
chain.
Do that? Like, that doesn't seem like something on the surface that Belichick would do.
What?
Text with Sean McVay.
Oh, no. Bill has he has so many relationships with other coaches. The coaches he respects, he like goes out of his way to build relationships.
Oh, I thought
that's
that,
where, like, the
that
relationship,
was a college thing.
That, but it is mostly, but he's done that with coaches at the NFL level, too, where it's like, I respect this guy. I might be able to get something out of having a relationship
exactly.
with him.
Exactly. What can I get from him if I kind of butter him up?
Right. And I think that it's, you know, like I've done a couple stories this year on how there are certain offensive coaches who every Monday morning they get into the office and there's a watch list, right? And I talked to McVay about this. I talked to Matt Nagy in Chicago about this. I talked to Sean Payton about it. They all have their watch list, and there's all the same teams on it. Like, they all have Kansas City, Philadelphia, New England, New Orleans, the Rams. And so there's, like, that sort of, I think, it's like this circle of coaches that all really respect each other, that sort of steal ideas from each other and everything else. And I think this is Bill sort of being part of that.
Welcome to the club.
Right. Like, and I think that there's, you know, Bill legitimately feels like I can get something out of that relationship.
Has anyone you ever
not the same
covered
level, like in college? Because the college coaches, he can get more out of because he's not competing.
Right, right. You know, a lot of these coaches, have any of them that you ever covered showed you an actual text from Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I've seen some.
Does he use emojis?
He doesn't. I've never seen an emoji.
Any slang?
No. Like, is there anything that stood out to you from a Bill Belichick text?
No, I mean,
does he shorten words, like when he says "you're," is it "you are"?
I can't remember, man. Like,
does he put "lol"?
No, there was no "lols."
Does
there
he go
no
like sign? Does he like use "she's a little runaway"?
I think it's sort of like the ones I remember seeing, like, were sort of like dad texts, I guess. Like your dad, like what my dad's text would look like.
Like, when you're a failure.
I'm very disappointed in you. Yes.
Why did I pay for your college?
I paid for college for this.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
I'd be so funny if he was like.
But you know, like dad texts, like, they don't text like. You know, people, like, we text different, like, we adjust the way that we type words and everything else
sure.
for text, right?
And they,
like,
they type just the way they talk.
They text, like, their emails, you know what I mean? Like,
I have no idea. My parents have no idea how to use Facebook, how to text. They know.
Unfortunately, my mom does.
I just get the phone call.
I remember how shocking it was the first time I got a text from my dad. I'm like, what's this?
All right. Well, Bert, we appreciate the time.
Good luck with Mike Vick.
Oh, well, that's
not happening.
And I'm really disappointed you're not sticking around for the party tonight.
Yeah. I would have gone.
Yeah.
I would have gone.
You should almost, like, rebook your flight and go.
My kid's birthday's tomorrow. I can't do it.
Oh, big deal.
He'll have many more.
Yeah. Yes.
This is a chance to be touched by God's hand.
Yes, indeed. Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Oh, look at all this water. I'm going to turn it into wine. What? Why didn't it work? All right. Here are the headlines.
It's Toucher and Rich live from Radio Row, presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealer. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Break up the five villain.
Now, 985 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich this hour. Toucher and Rich radio show from Radio Row at the Super Bowl is brought to you by Plymouth Rock Assurance. And even though the Super Bowl is coming up on Sunday, there is lots of moving pieces. LeBron James is the most powerful man in sports. I think that's safe to say, in North American sports.
Mm-hmm. And he is working behind the scenes, it seems like, to A, get Anthony Davis, and B, try to get Kyrie Irving off of the Boston Celtics. And like, then that one video he made where he was singing the song called Rewind about I Wish We Could All Go Back and Do It Over Again, and it says this is dedicated to Kyrie, is like, see, that's why tampering it can never stop. It will never stop, because that's a legal type of tampering. That's him basically saying, we want to play together.
Right.
And with the fact that Anthony Davis and LeBron James have the same agent, I mean, how are you going to stop any kind of talking and collusion in an attempt to get those two to play together? So Charles Barkley, if you have the clip, Dan, Barkley last night was on Inside the NBA, and he had this. He thinks that someone should step in and stop the Lakers from making a move for Anthony Davis. All right, here's a clip.
Adam Silver need to block that trade. I don't like what the Lakers are doing. I don't think it's right.
What the Lakers are doing?
Yes, I don't think.
What did they do?
We're collusion. And you know it's collusion.
How's it collusion?
Well, because you know. Listen.
How is it collusion?
When you share an agent,
it's business. Listen, let me tell you something. Rich Paul got mad at me because I said a month ago, I said, oh, the picture's in. Anthony Davis going to the Lakers. This before all this rumor started. And he says, Charles, he didn't like me saying the fix was in. The fix has been in. We cannot have players and agents colluding to stack super team.
Yep. So, which, you know, by the way, you can't stop it. And as much as it sucks and as much as that the way things are
you
in the
should,
NBA.
You should do something about something as blatant as going on social media and asking a guy to come back to you.
Sure. Like begging them to come back.
And there is something you could do. You could block the trade. They've done it before. I don't know if it was for collusion.
No, that was the New Orleans situation. Yeah. They didn't think that the value that New Orleans was, because at the time, remember, the New Orleans Hornets, before it was the Pelicans, was owned by the NBA. Like, they didn't have an owner. And so they thought that the value that they were going to be getting in return for Chris Paul wasn't a fair value and that they were getting ripped off. And that's essentially the reason they blocked the trade, right? Which is still ridiculous.
The NBA owned the team that Paul was playing for at the time. That factors into all of this. But I think if you have independent owners, I don't think the NBA is going to step in. Now, those were extenuating circumstances.
But then it cheapens the game because you're alienating 31 other teams and their fan bases.
Sure, sure.
So why should LeBron James have that kind of power?
So this is from of course, Windhorst, who knows, he is fairly connected, if you mean by attached to the hip of LeBron James. This is from an article. He said, the Celtics did reach out to the New Orleans Pelicans this week and told them they'd be willing to discuss all players on their roster in a Davis trade that could be made after the season when Irving is expected to become a free agent. And to that I say, well, of course, that's what you would expect. Any player outside of Kyrie Irving, we'd be willing to make a trade. However, this is interesting because Adrian Wojnarowski said this about Anthony Davis and his intentions if he indeed became a Celtic.
It's become very clear to teams who are back-channeling, trying to get a sense of Anthony Davis's plans in 2020. They're all getting back the same information, and that's that Davis is focused on signing with the Lakers in free agency in 2020, and if he's traded anywhere else, he's going to treat it like a one-year rental.
Okay. Once again, we talked to Danny Ainge yesterday, and he said that he would be willing. Now, he couldn't specifically name Anthony Davis, but if there was a player that he believed that could help them deliver a championship, he would make a trade for them, even if they did not agree originally to an extension, because he thinks that he would be able to convince them.
And then I asked an actual question, not just something that he paused and didn't laugh at. I said, do you believe that you have, like, the most to give a team?
Yeah.
And he didn't deny that. He said that, he believed that they had the most. I mean, but it's something for the GM to go, we have the most.
Well, I also think that one of the.
It also shows that he would be able to give up. Like, when he says we have the most to give a team, it means we'll give up a lot.
Okay. So there's a report that came out yesterday, too, Fred, that there was that Danny Ainge or the Celtics, what they are ultimately trying to do is when they make their trade, give New Orleans essentially everything they want, but keep Jason Tatum. Everything's on the table.
Not
but
enough.
Ideally, what they want is they want a big three of Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, and Anthony Davis.
Is there any package they
could put together that if you're the Pelicans, you would agree to?
Not if you're worth a damn in management. There's no way you can sell that to your fan base. Not a chance.
Yeah, you have to get one young star.
You have to get a young stud.
I agree.
Like that. There's not a chance.
Although,
by the way, the whole Davis thing, I heard Woj said the exact same thing about Paul George. The exact same thing. Paul George is going to be a rental. He's made let everyone know his intentions are to sign with the Lakers when he becomes a free agent. I think you bring Davis here, and I think Danny Ainge thinks the same thing. You keep Kyrie Irving, and he and Davis have a good relationship. You keep Kyrie Irving. You try and sell him on the Boston fan base. Because remember, Davis hasn't played in front of a fan base that's worth a damn since he's been in the league. You put him in front of the Boston fans. You couple him with Kyrie Irving. Maybe Gordon Hayward next year becomes more like the player you thought you were getting. And then you have something.
So Adam Himmelsbach from the Boston Globe went and talked to a source that is very close to Kyrie Irving. That's how he quoted it. And he said that Irving is giving no indication that he's going to back down from his promise that he's going to stay with the Celtics. He also said that, obviously he could change his mind before July 1st, but added that if he does, it's almost certainly not going to be to reunite with LeBron James, calling that notion a, quote, joke. Now, if I'm Kyrie Irving and I'm leaking that, I'm saying the exact same thing, even if I want to go to L.A. Like, I mean, you don't want people asking you about it.
So he's,
well, he's
sick
coming out with another movie. So.
He's sick of being a leader. Is that what this comes down to?
No.
Because if he goes to L.A., he's right back where he was in Cleveland.
That's true.
Listen, it doesn't sound ideal to me, but then again, what the hell's with the phone calls videos and all that crap?
I understand that, but look, Kyrie fired his way out of Cleveland to be the leader. He's done his very best, and he spoke about it openly with the media. I want to lead these guys. I want to, try and get them all moving in the right direction. So he's given up on that.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that he's been, the bravado, and I'm going to be the leader and this and that. And
you can't put yourself right back in LeBron's lap.
Well, then also, if you're teasing that you're leaving the team, screw you. Like, why are you the leader? If you're threatening leaving the team, why should I follow you anywhere?
And by the way, this is very real right now because we asked Danny Ainge, whenever a player gets mentioned in a trade and you're the GM, do you ever sit down and talk to them and kind of let them know exactly what's up? And we specifically named Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Yesterday he said, yes, indeed, he has sat down this week and talked to both of them just to kind of set the record straight on what's going on. And
then Tatum sounded like he was going to cry in his last press
conference. Tatum sounded like and I, it was before we interviewed Danny Ainge that we heard that clip. I remember just like, geez, man, who killed his puppy?
But it wasn't in context.
In context. So they basically told him, it sounds to me, like, listen, it's true. If we have to make a deal for Anthony Davis, you're basically the piece, the building block. You have to be thrown into this.
There's no way you can keep Tatum and make a deal for Davis. Not
all right, so we will be right back. I have to ask, you want to see Crash after the show? At the CNN Center.
Oh, yeah. If he's right here, sure. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Okay, well, so we'll see
Crash. Have him come by.
He can't get in. So he's drinking at the CNN Center.
We have like 18 people who work on our station that look like Crash.
At 8:50 in the morning.
Can't we get like a badge?
He gets off at 7.
8:50 in the morning.
He gets off at 7. All right, we'll be right back.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.